And this is other, I'm just giving you some of the teaching I've heard just in one conference this weekend that was wrong. Adam was perfectly fine until he chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because at that point, he messed up his perfect world that was completely in the control of God. And he had to actually leave that place, and God took that place off the planet so that he wouldn't live forever. Okay? Now, Jesus was the firstborn of a brand new creation. Oh, is that scripture? A creation, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Because this new creation was going to be man with God living in him, where Jesus was God in skin. Now, when we're born again, we still have the body of a human being. We still have the human spirit. The human spirit is either going to go to heaven or hell. If you walk away from God, you are not God. You are not one. You are not so immersed in God and God in you that you cannot still be separated. So if you walk away from God, or you fall into horrible sin and you don't repent and you don't really live for God, you can be divorced, so to speak, from God. And you will live, your spirit will eternally go to hell. His will not. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are inseparable, and they'll always be God. Now, the Holy Spirit comes into a believer who finds Jesus Christ. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the light. When you find him and you ask him to be the Lord of your life and you surrender to self, what's surrendering to self? Not being led by your flesh anymore. That was the temptations that Christ had to walk on the earth, because your flesh actually was created to enjoy the pleasure that God had created the earth for Adam to enjoy. God actually made us people to really love pleasure. The Bible says we were created for God's good pleasure. So the temptations of the flesh is this constant desire for pleasure, whether it's eating, sexual, getting a buzz, smell, whatever. It's just, your body wants to just have fun. And it doesn't want God. And Jesus had to be tempted with that and say, no, I only want the Father. I only want what the Father's doing. I only want to be led by the Father. I'm not going to let my flesh lead me. And that's what, when God comes inside of us and lives in us, we now daily die to the flesh. We daily make a decision to say no. If you want to really learn how to do it, decide to give up sugar. Make that decision to say, you know what, I'm going to test this thing out. I'm going to take a week and say no to sugar. And you'll find out how it works. You'll find out that it's a choice right then and there. No, everybody else is eating that cake, but I'm not going to. It's not going to make me more holy not to eat it. But I'm taking authority over my flesh. You kind of enjoy it once you learn to really, you can say no to the TV. I'm not turning it on. That's crucifying your flesh daily, crucifying your flesh with every decision. So anyway, Christ in us, by the Holy Spirit, then is one with our spirit. And that's what true worship is and all of that, okay? So, we have a human spirit. We have a human spirit that then is one with the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. Jesus was just all Holy Spirit. Isn't this good? This helps you. If you look at the test of the Spirit, and I'm going to get into this more on Friday, but if you look at the test of the Spirit, it's all about recognizing that Jesus is Christ. Jesus is God. Jesus has always been. I even heard lies about saying that we've always been. If we've always been, then we're the same as God, folks, and we're not. The Holy Spirit that now lives in me has always been. And God's known everything, so I've been in his mind, I've been in his plans. But I did not have a life in heaven before earth. There's so much wrong doctrine out there. Like we're supposed to just believe everything. Why would God give us a lie? That's Mormonism, by the way. Okay. Now the accuser. He is accusing your flesh. He is accusing your human spirit. He's accusing your soul. He's not accusing the Holy Spirit in you. Okay? He knows better than that. Is he in charge of your soul or your human spirit or even your body? Is the enemy the judge? Is there anywhere in the scripture where God gives Satan the right to be your judge? No. No. Who is your judge? Jesus is the judge and the Father's the judge. The Holy Spirit's the convictor, okay? So why are you listening to the devil? He has no legal rights to accuse you. He has no legal rights to condemn you. He has no legal rights. Do you understand that? Don't listen to him. Even if you're not perfect yet, and guess what? You're not. That doesn't mean Satan should be talking to you. I'm not perfect. But it's none of Satan's business. I'm not who I was last year. But all the things that God has changed in me this year, none of it's Satan's business. Do you understand? He has nothing to do with me. He just goes around trying to scare me, trying to make me think he has something to do with me. But faith is knowing that there's no punishment for me. That God's going to keep changing me. God's going to keep working in me. Some of you need to separate completely tonight from the areas in your life that still need to be dealt with. You need to separate from thinking those areas Satan has a right to be the accuser to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit has a right to be convicting you of sin. But Satan has no rights at all to be speaking to you, and you need to shut him up in Jesus' name. Who does he think he is? He is a defeated foe. Do you think God is allowing him to have a right to tell you who you are and what you're doing wrong? No. Jesus Christ came to undo the works of the enemy. He came to make sure that you can cast Satan out of your thought life. Why aren't you doing it? Now, some of you have heard criticism and accusations your whole life. And many times it came from people in authority. And that has confused you to make you think that's how God talks to you. God does not talk that way. Even when Jesus rebukes, it's like a parent stopping a child from running in front of a truck, a moving truck. So when God says, "No, Cindy," it's because he wants to protect me and he loves me. It's not because he wants to beat me up and tell me how bad I am or how stupid I am. If you say you're stupid, the Bible says that you are actually in danger of hellfire for calling someone an idiot. Why? Because God does not call anyone an idiot. And he's not going to let you voice the devil's opinion of people made in his likeness and his image. God says you're wonderfully made. You better decide tonight he's right. Now there are areas where people have some issues. There are areas where Satan has people in bondage. That's totally real. But you have a God now. You have a Savior. You have a Redeemer that you're to take all that to and give it to him and let him deal with it. And he will. He's not going to share this job of showing you your sin with Satan. If there's confusion involved in your mind when an inner healing is going on or we're doing a, an altar call, or you're reading a book, or somebody begins to talk and they talk about a sin issue. If there's confusion in your mind, then Satan still has a hold there. You need to begin to get the witness of the Holy Spirit. There are things that are wrong with everybody, okay? There are some things that I could have told you were wrong with you because the Lord's, I've discerned it a long time ago that I don't touch. Why? Because it's none of my business. It's only my business when the Holy Spirit makes it my business to help you. And then if you don't want to receive that help, I'm fine with walking away from it. It's not my business. I've had to tell people before, look, I love you just like you are. I don't care if you change or not. You're not changing to fit in at Beauty for Ashes. You're not changing so you can be my friend. You're not changing for me. So if you don't want to change, then don't. But don't act like I'm being mean. Or don't try to blame me and turn it back at me if God shows me something for you. Just say, hey, I don't see you as a sphere of influence that way. Fine. Because I guarantee you, I'd have a line around the building of people if I'd sit down and show them all that stuff. So if I'm not a sphere of influence for you in that area, fine. But you can also say to someone else, you know, I don't see you as a sphere of influence there. But if God's leading that maybe they should be a sphere of influence and you're just not receiving and you're not going to change how God wants to do it. So sometimes as you're ministering to someone because God's showing you something and they begin to attack you and accuse you, don't defend yourself or you just got down in the devil's ball game. You just say, you know what? If you don't want me to talk to you about this or you don't see me as a sphere of influence here, that's fine. I'm sorry, I thought the Lord gave me that to talk to you about. And then be quiet. And then that person has to get the conviction by the Holy Spirit. Don't be argumentative. Don't defend yourself. Don't debate it. And how do you know that? Because it really doesn't bother you. You're perfectly fine with everything. Do you know what I'm talking about? As God takes more and more of you on these retreats and these group meetings and you spend more time when we do the Timothy ministry, you're going to find out God's going to start using you to bring up stuff in other people. And when he does, and the other person attacks you, you're going to have to get mature enough to say, hey, I don't care about this at all. I felt like the Lord, what is that? What's going on with you? Well, you said, no, this, I don't really even care. Unless you're really yourself in sin with what you're doing. If there's something raising up in you, you're going to have to learn this stuff, guys. This was going on at the conference we just got back from. Some people are just finally being led of the Spirit. Don't let somebody close you down who jumps on your case the first time God decides to use you to bring up something in somebody. You just calm down. And check yourself, say, Lord, you know, do I really care about this? No. Am I determined to change this person? No. Is anything coming up in me? Nah. Then realize you're being used by the Holy Spirit. Iron sharpens iron. And if something does come up, go to God and find out what it is and get rid of it. But Satan's also going to try to back you down when God's trying to use you. Okay, I'm just saying that because there were a few people God's starting to use this way. Praise God. Welcome to inner healing and deliverance. You get attacked for everything, accused for everything, and you really honestly don't get, you are the bad guy in every situation because God has chosen to use you to heal the brokenhearted. But you need to be honest. Is there something I'm doing wrong? Don't get defensive or get rid of that thing. But learn to say, you know what? You're not receiving from me. And unless you want to receive from me, then we don't need to have this conversation. That's what I do. Sometimes God will make you hit it a little bit harder because you know you're that sphere of influence. You know you're that person God's using in that person's life. And you know if you get them to the other side, you're going to both have a great victory. But you need to just begin to understand these things. I saw this happening. I was excited. Lisa, God's starting to use you. Don't back down when you get accused. Don't crawl in a little hole and think I did something wrong. You're going to have to be bold and strong and say what God gives you to say. And you're going to have to learn to walk in love, forgive each other, and also know when you start ministering in any area of ministry, you're not going to do it perfect. You're not going to do it great. And then the person who attacks you, or if you attack them, you need to apologize and you need to get it right and keep it right. Because truthfully, there's not a person in this ministry that I know of that's not got a heart to help other people. You would not be here for long because you wouldn't be able to stand it. And I would be led of the Holy Spirit to close you down really fast if you're trying to minister out of the wrong motive. So I just think it's awesome what God's beginning to do. I just want to encourage you, don't let the enemy close you down. People need to get free. People need to have somebody they can talk to. And you need to sometimes say, what is this triggering? You know, you're acting like I'm your mother or something. You're acting like I'm your sister. I haven't even said but one little comment. Why are you acting like this? And it can help the person start breaking it down. But back to the accuser thing. I always throw these little extra things in there. The accuser. How many know who I'm talking? How many have accusers talking in their head? Raise your hands. All right. We need to get them out. He's not supposed to be in your head. He's supposed to be under your feet. It's very hard to talk under there, you know? Hey, I think you're... Oh, shut up. You know what you... Shut up. If the devil's up here talking in your head, something's out of order. He shouldn't be talking to you. You're letting him talk to you because for some reason you think he's allowed to. For some reason you think it's you or you think it's God. All right, let me tell you one way to know right away it's not God. And you all know these scriptures. I'm not pulling out the scriptures tonight because we've got them on tapes. Deeper teachings. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. None. What's condemnation? Feeling of hopelessness, feeling like nothing's going to work right, feeling like, you know, there's no hope for you. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo, the blood wasn't enough for your sin. Get over it, folks. I don't care what you did. I don't care how messed up you are, how messed up you've been, how messed up you still are. The blood of Christ is way more powerful than your mess. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I am so thankful that his blood covers our sin. He died for it. Give it to him. And quit wallowing in it. Some of you like the tension of wallowing in it. You know, just if you need attention, let's just do it. If anybody here is in desperate need of attention, some of you are. If you will come up right now, we will hug you. We will have a whole group hug you. We will have a group hug. I'm not saying this to be sarcastic. I'm honestly saying there are people in this room who are so desperate for attention that you actually enjoy being caught messed up. You actually enjoy causing drama everywhere. You actually enjoy coming against people to have a trauma and drama around it. And the truth is, God loves you. He wants to give you that attention supernaturally without you being a manipulator, a controller, a dope addict, you know, any other device you've taken on to get attention. He really wants to meet that need. And I really believe he'll meet that need. He's got to be in charge of how he meets that, because if your junk works, it just makes you think it worked, and that makes you worse. And some of you are so desperate for attention that if anybody ever shows, it's hard to sneak in there and give you God's kind of love, because you're so constantly trying to get it, you would think that devil in you got it for you.